may remain seated. Grace and peace to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has won us back from every transgression we've ever committed, dear fellow redeemed. Our series begins with a consideration of the Ten Commandments. And so this Ash Wednesday, as we find ourselves introduced into the Passion season and reflecting on what happened to our Lord and Savior, it begins with this self-evaluation that the Ten Commandments present before us. But not just that. It also turns us to the cross, wherein we find reflected the glorious fulfillment of every one of those commandments. Let us consider our text, which comes from Exodus chapter 20, as God addresses Israel through his servant Moses. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God. In Jesus' name. Think of something you value very highly in your life. Think of something you've invested a lot of time into, that's something that's very precious to you. It's perhaps something fragile. Perhaps a young child, a son or a daughter. Now see someone handling it carelessly. What you're feeling right now is jealousy. And there is a time and a place for right jealousy. There's a time and a place when we find someone else corrupting your child, for instance, with destructive thoughts or lies, for you to be rightfully jealous. We ask the Spirit's blessing as we consider this evening how the cross and the catechism reveal our jealous God. So you've invested hours and hours into a project to come up with a creation, a work of art. I know with two of my boys, this might be a puzzle or a stack of blocks, and then along comes the third, who crawls over the puzzle or knocks over the blocks. How do they feel? Or perhaps it's something you've invested your own time in that somebody else comes along and ruins. The cross reveals our jealous God who has paid a price to set us free. Martin Luther was very in tune with this high price. He was, in fact, so in tune that much of his life he spent suffering under a burden, looking at the cross as something that laid extra guilt on him, not seeing something that set him free, but rather something that added more and more weight on his shoulder, seeing the debt and feeling a debt that he owed to God for what he had done or what he had caused. From that perspective, the cross shows our failures. It shows what we deserve. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We find there a statement that none of us would make if we were in that situation. Because us, in that situation, No, we're getting exactly what we deserve. Forsakenness. The Ten Commandments reveal marks then. Missing the mark. I was never a dorm student at Emmanuel in Eau Claire, but I remember quite distinctly how the students there would receive marks for not cleaning their room, not being to bed on time, or maybe watching a movie when it was supposed to be study time. They would receive marks. These marks pale in comparison to what we deserve for what we've done against these Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments, then, we can consider in two parts. Sometimes we call them the two tables of the law. One table reveals love toward God. That's the first through the third commandment. And then the fourth through the tenth show us how we should have love toward our neighbor. And that's considered the second table. Concerning love toward God, Matthew 22 states, "Love the Lord our God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." In the explanation to the third commandment, if you have your pamphlets, you'll notice it says we should fear and love God, that we do not despise his word and the preaching of it. We should regard God's word as holy and gladly hear and learn it. How often it is that not even a few minutes before walking into the church here, or me stepping before you in the service, that our mind wanders. Especially when we consider a long passion reading like we just did, it's hard for us to stay focused for that long of a time. We find that we're often preoccupied with what's going on tomorrow, our busy lives, and all these other things that we have going through our head. As Luther says, we should fear and love God above all things, but rarely are we doing that. Likewise, our love toward our neighbor is not what it should be. The fourth commandment points out how we should honor and love our father and mother, but then Luther in our confessions go on to explain how this also includes any superior, a boss, at work, a governor, a president, all deserving of our respect, love and respect. They're called our representative, God's representatives. This is something virtually lost in much of our society, where one time the elderly were looked on for wisdom, guidance, and advice. Today are more so looked on as not in touch with the next generation. Jesus tracks the lack of love in our lives all the way back to the heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, and so on. The ninth and tenth commandment also go on. And so often we get, I know that I gloss over these last few commandments, but therein lie the heart of the matter. Coveting, desire, because it all does start with our sinful flesh. Yet for all these things, in reading the catechism, in confessing these things and our sins, let us never forget the cross. Christ went to the cross carrying not wood, but guilt. And he did so not to make you feel worse about what you've done, but to set you free. To set you free from every one of these sins. Verse 2 of Exodus. The Lord says, "I, the Lord your God, am the who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Before introducing the Ten Commandments, the God points us to who he is, the Lord, Jehovah, the unchanging, eternal one, meaning that his promises are steadfast, and that he's the same God that promised to Adam and Eve in the garden, that promised to Abraham, and that promises to you, that Savior. This is where the cross comes in. The God who brought us out of the house of bondage, out of the bondage of the law. He did so by sending his Son to keep both those tables of the law, perfect love toward God. And we can think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said to God, his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. When he stood before those guards who came to him with clubs and swords and said, could I not now call down 12 legions of angels if I wanted to? But he didn't. He said, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Likewise, the second table of the law, toward neighbor. How many of Jesus' words as he journeyed to the cross were about himself? He said, woman, don't weep for me, weep for you and your children. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He said, woman, behold your son, to his mother, making sure she was taken care of after he died. He was always focused on perfect love toward everyone else, and especially toward you. Because as Titus says, as Paul says in his letter to Titus, he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now we see the connection between the cross and the catechism. We see how Jesus, giving himself over to death, living a perfect life in our place, now sets us free to do what? Be God's own special people, zealous for good works. That's why God in verse 5 says, I am a jealous God. Yes, the cross and the catechism reveal a God who has purchased you back from sin and death to be his very own. Luther learned what this freedom was all about. He learned how the cross was not then a burden, but that which sets us free to follow God's will. As we said in the explanation to the second article earlier in this service, he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from sin, that I should be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy. As parents, we don't want to threaten our children to do what we ask them simply because we threaten them, simply because they're scared of the consequences. We wanted them to do it because they fear, love, and trust us. Yes, that's what it's all about. So if you look into Luther's explanation to these Ten Commandments, what does he begin each one of those with? We should fear, love, and trust in God. We should fear, love, and trust God. We should fear and love God. We should fear and love God. Yes, this is something that just simply isn't possible if it wasn't for the cross. Without the cross, we couldn't fear. We couldn't hold God in that awe and respect that we have for him. We couldn't love him. We love him because he first loved us. And we certainly couldn't believe and trust in him. But now we have a God who won us back to be his own. A God who we do love, who we do fear, not by coercion, but by connection, being connected to the cross, to regard God's word as holy, to lay down our life for each other, to do all that is asked in God's word. Your God is rightfully jealous. He sees you as his own precious, fragile creature, for which he's invested so much, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to keep you safe. And so he leads us by his word and gives us his Holy Spirit to motivate us and see the connection between the cross and the catechism. In Jesus' name, Lord, keep us ever in your kingdom and your care, fearing, loving, and trusting you above all things. Hear us for the sake of the cross. Amen.